This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine with Fiona and Paul, who are standing in for Macca and Tass this week.
Oh, I think we're standing in doing okay. I hope we're doing okay. I'd love to hear if anyone thinks we're not doing okay. No. Just tell us if you think we are doing okay.
I was going to say big shoes and big Macca trousers, but I've not been having as many hash browns as he has. So we're now joined in the studio by Matt Wade. Morning, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Matt is the editor of the Star Observer. And so Matt's going to be joining us for the next hour and co-hosting and doing a bit of chat about what's been going on this week.
Absolutely. And I'm loving your jumper.
Oh,
pink is just gorgeous.
I know it's quite dreary outside, so I thought I'd kind of bring some colour into it a bit. Yeah.
It's absolutely.
You're certainly brightening up the place. Just a quick message, though. Macca, who obviously cannot stop listening, has just sent us another text through just to remind Melina.
Yes, Melina, your mug.
Your Margaret mug is still here.
Yes. Please come in and collect your mug. And it doesn't have to be on Saturdays, although if it is on a Saturday, that would be great because then we get a chance to meet you.
And Macca will sign it for you.
But if not, you can come in and get your mug at any time.
So, Matt, what a week.
It's been an incredible week. It's been a massive week. And it's been such a big build-up as well. It's interesting, and I've been saying this to a lot of different people, and obviously I can't speak for everyone, but I think the postal survey itself and the yes win back in November was a massive moment for people around the country. And I think because of that, people maybe didn't have as much momentum behind this vote over the past week or so, because we kind of had the big celebration, the parties, the marches for the postal survey. And myself included, I guess, in the lead up, I was like, look, I'm glad it's finally happening, but I don't know if I'll feel the same sort of, you know, relief and excitement that I maybe felt after the postal survey win. But I did. And I think everyone did. You know, as soon as that was announced, as soon as the division was called and like nearly everyone moved over to one side of the room, I mean, it was just such an amazing feeling. And last night in Melbourne, a group of people met at the State Library and kind of did a victory march in Melbourne, which I thought was beautiful as well. So, no, it's been an incredible week. And, yeah, it's been amazing.
And I think there was a collective sigh of relief. I mean, I was at working on Thursday and I got the text on through my phone and I just took myself to a quiet little room, shed a little tear and just took a deep sigh. Thank God it's finally done. We've got it. It's there.
I was watching it, you know, on my computer while I was supposed to be at work and everyone was like, what are you listening to? And I'm like, I'm just listening to this, guys. And I just kept on waiting and then eventually had to leave work. Well, I didn't have to leave work, but chose to leave work. And then it happened, you know, while I was in transit, and it was very exciting and I just wanted to get home and turn on the news.
It was a very long day and I'm watching Parliament. I mean, I was here at Joy actually. I'm watching Parliament all day and it was just, it was a very long day, but it was worth it. And every time they called the division, I was just thinking, oh my goodness, come on, let's do this. Let's get it going. But it was worth it in the end. It was great.
So Matt, what's the reaction been around the world to Australia's decision to finally actually get this Marriage Act passed?
It's been incredible and it's actually interesting because I know even in the past year or so, actually since I guess Dean Smith's bill was even announced, even before the postal survey itself, a lot of our readers and people that have been commenting on our stories over at Star Observer, and I'm sure Joy have gotten this as well, have kind of said, like, you know, we've interviewed quite a few international guests and they've said, oh, the perception overseas is that Australia is such a progressive and liberal kind of country. A lot of people didn't even realize that we didn't have marriage equality. They just assumed obviously we would, you know, the US, the UK, like a lot of places obviously already have it. But then over the course of this process, people have kind of realized like, geez, I can't believe it hasn't happened. So now that it has, the reaction's been amazing. Obviously a bunch of celebrities have come out saying how incredible it is. And I mean, some of our readership are very much, you know, people overseas that are commenting and saying, congratulations, Australia, like we're really happy for you. And yeah, it's been really lovely.
And I saw that marriage equality was actually one of the number one trending items on Twitter all the back of Australia.
Yeah, there were quite a few related trending topics as well at the time, without obviously putting any expletives in the speech about Lyle Shelton as well, which is very interesting. But I think, well beyond the shores of Australia, people were tweeting about it around the world. So it was a massive moment.
I recall very much when Ireland, their referendum came through. I remember watching that on television and thinking, wow, look at all those people. They're celebrating the colour. It was so exciting. And so I was visualising in my mind that that would be happening in other countries around the world. There'd be all this fantastic footage of people jumping up and down and
And it's you're right. And it was beautiful to see anywhere it's happened around the world and you've seen people kind of rejoicing. It's such a great feeling, even from abroad. But getting to actually experience it ourselves, I guess, here, whether it was the Yes win for the postal survey or in this past week, it's just great. Like even, you know, yesterday at the victory march, you know, there were people hugging, there were people crying, cheering. Like it was just, you know, it's been such a long time coming, but it's great that it's finally here. And yeah, people don't have to worry about it anymore.
But there's a lot of people that were obviously really hurt during this process.
Yep.
And I'd be really interested to know what you're aware of that's going to be put in place to help some of those people feel that they weren't completely marginalised or sidelined as part of this conversation. You had your lives put under a microscope. They had their lives put under a microscope. I mean, there's a lot that needs to be done.
Well, yeah, actually, you know, the postal survey itself cost, you know, over $100 million. However, only I think there were tens of millions that weren't used in the process. And a lot of people have kind of called on the government, well, to use that excess funding.
That would be perfect.
Yeah, to fund that kind of things. I know that obviously the Victorian government had invested some money into mental health services targeting LGBTI people over the course of the postal survey process. And I imagine that might still be in effect, places like Switchboard and things like that to assist people in our community here in Melbourne. But I think it should be something that's done on a federal level. I mean, even the most, you know, vehement no voter should be aware that, and it's not hard to see that it has had a really significant impact negatively on a lot of people in our community. So yeah, I hope something is done on a federal level. So at the moment I'm only aware of obviously on a state level, but yeah.
And have you actually heard stories of politicians openly discussing the use of that money for mental health and supporting some of these issues?
I believe that's what happened. I mean, I know when people were calling on the federal government to use that excess funding, I know, I believe it was Richard Di Natale. I mean, the Greens were definitely kind of backing that and saying this is where it should go as well. And I know that, as you probably were aware as well, when all the speeches were happening in both the Senate and the House of Representatives over the past couple of weeks, a lot of the politicians, particularly the ones obviously that were siding with marriage equality, were mentioning the harm that it caused to the LGBTI community. And I think that was actually a really important moment as well. Beyond funding and support services, it was really nice to see people in these positions of power not only acknowledging that the postal survey had done wrong by the community, but specifically also trans and gender diverse people, because I think in a lot of the talk around marriage equality in the last year and obviously the last 13, but particularly over this postal survey, trans and gender diverse people were not invisible but not really mentioned as much, even though it very much affected them as well. So it was nice over the course of the speeches in Parliament that a handful of politicians mentioned that as well, because I think that was important to note.
I also think that was some of the skill in the drafting from Dean Smith as well, that actually the wording was changed. It was actually two people, because, you know, that exception, if that had gone in, would have been a massive dent into our community. And the trans community, you know, needs the recognition at that sort of federal level. So that's a great result.
Well, as a matter of fact, of course, it was at the end of Human Rights Week, which was interesting. And the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission were very happy, of course, that this had happened at the end of Human Rights Week. They also wanted to acknowledge that, you know, if people have felt discriminated against because of your orientation or other personal characteristics, that they do want to make it obvious that people can call the commission and make a complaint. The number you can call is 1300 292 153, or you can email inquiries at veohrc@vic.gov.au. I'll put that on the social media because I think that's an important people do need to know that support system is still in place.
Of course. And I think it's important as well that, you know, over the course, even though it's definitely a time for celebration, I think going forward, a lot of the vitriol that was kind of spread around the country during this process, the people that were behind that should still be held to account. I mean, it's a great moment for our community, but the people that were affected by it and also the people that perpetrated a lot of that, I think... Let's not forget it.
Yeah, and also, you know, it's a fantastic milestone, but it is just another milestone in the progression of LGBTIQ rights around Australia. So any reactions you've had through that have surprised you on the social media for this?
It's interesting because our audience has, by and large, I guess similarly to Joy, been the LGBTI community. But I've noticed quite strongly that over the course of this campaign and even just before it, that a lot of, I guess, allies or members of the straight community... have jumped on our page and liked our page and commenting a lot, and have been writing in, whether it's by a message or comment, about, you know, the mother of a gay son or the sister of a lesbian, you know, whatever it may be. I've noticed that their voices have kind of been elevated quite substantially. And even though it's been incredible to see a lot of our own personal stories being put out there as a way to kind of change hearts and minds, so to speak, I think that... a lot of, I guess, the straight allies or people that just, you know, just everyday people that maybe have be related or friends with somebody that's LGBTI, hearing them kind of speak out and be quite emotional about it as well. It's not necessarily surprising, but it was just quite heartwarming to see.
And it just normalizes our community as well, because it doesn't make us feel like something different, because if we're included in those conversations, those everyday conversations, actually just makes us part of the community as any other people.
Exactly.
And then all those heartwarming stories, of course, are emerging. That wonderful story about the older couple that were based in Sydney that have been together for 39 years.
Yeah.
They're in their 70s, 78. That is an incredibly beautiful story. Gorgeous. I want to, you know, we want to hear more about things like that.
100%. And I think it was actually at the Victory March last night. I mean, there are a couple that are kind of affiliated with Equal Love. I think it's Anthony and Ron. And they've been together for decades. And, you know, they've kind of been waiting for their marriage to be recognized as legal. And I guess overnight, you know, as of today, it will
be.
Yeah,
it is.
So,
and people don't know that necessarily. So one of the key things in Dean Smith's bill was the fact that if you did get married in an overseas territory, you're automatically now recognized under the Australian law as being married. And I think in Victoria, there's 1,770, I was reading one of the newspapers, of couples who automatically will just be recognised now as being married.
Someone, I had a conversation with someone about the process. They're like, well, so what do you do first? I really couldn't advise them. But so you got to register. And yeah, get on board, because there is plenty of opportunities to do so. And right now would be an excellent time to be a wedding planner.
Yeah, that's very true.
I'm going to change my career.
It's amazing how streamlined the process has been, because I guess even though we were anticipating that it would hopefully pass this year, I still thought, oh, maybe it might take a bit of time before it gets the royal assent and then for it to become enacted. But it's all happened very quickly. Like, it's already been signed off and, you know, it's done. So, even today, like, I saw people on my social media feeds, you know, posting that now their overseas marriage is recognised here. And, yeah, it's incredible.
We were just talking a little bit earlier regarding that wonderful new ruling by the Victorian court about how families can now access a whole lot of interesting components without having to go to the court to get permission and approval. And of course, last week we had a wonderful guest in who told us her story about her daughter. That's very exciting news, Matt.
Yeah, it was amazing. And it's amazing that this is all kind of happening at the end of the year, because it means that a lot of people in our community, even outside of people that are excited for marriage equality, can kind of rest a bit assured and relax over the break without having to worry about a lot of these things. With hormone treatment, I mean, obviously, for quite a while, stage one hormone treatment for young transgender diverse people was relatively easily accessible. But the issue was always the stage two, so estrogen, testosterone. And to, I guess in order to get that, a young person would have to go through a quite lengthy and expensive and, I guess, harmful court process. And we've reported on this quite a few times, and a lot of the young people we've spoken to have just said, look, even if they have the funds, even if they've got all the time in the world to do it, it actually is quite damaging for their mental health, because they're basically being told you have to go through this super lengthy, difficult process just to access something to, I guess, ensure that they can reflect the gender that they identify with.
It's enormously expensive. I mean, aside from going through that process, which of course now you don't have to do, it's like $30,000. I mean, how do families afford this?
Well, exactly. And that's why I think, I mean, that day when it was changed, so to speak, so that they don't have to necessarily go through that process anymore. Even just some of the video footage and the images that we saw from Parliament and seeing young advocates, like Georgie Stone, you know, just kind of rejoicing and just being so happy. I just thought, look, this marriage equality is a great feat, but it's great that there's other stuff is happening too. And we need to make sure, obviously, going forward that we're focusing on other spaces and not losing momentum, I should say.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, Matt, what happens next? We've actually got, you know, the big decision on marriage equality. What's the next big thing that we need to start tackling for our community?
Well, I think over the next the next few weeks or so, I mean, everyone should probably have a big rest, because I think everyone in the community has played their part, whether it's small or large, in making marriage equality happen, you know, whether it's sharing stories, going out to rallies, even just, you know, voting yes on the postal survey. I mean, it all contributed to the end result. So I think everyone deserves a well-earned break. But following that, I mean, next year, we can get back into it. I mean, I feel like there's still a lot of legislation or law reform that can happen on the familial front. So, I mean, obviously, I know there's different state legislation when it comes to, like, adoption and things like that. So to make that easier for same-sex or same-gender parents, I think will be one of the big things that's next on the agenda.
it was fantastic to see some footage of people that were lining up to be a part of the vote yesterday or to witness it. And there was two dads there with their three kids. Mm. And, you know, I mean, it was fantastic to see the families, the Rainbow Families together.
Well, I think Rainbow Families, Victoria particularly, like they kind of crowdfunded some money because they actually wanted to make sure that their kids could be there to witness that.
Wow.
And I think that is special. And I know not everyone obviously got the opportunity to be there physically, but even witnessing it on the television, I mean, particularly for young people who have had to kind of see these no ads on TV and see posters and all this kind of vitriol amidst all of the beautiful rainbows and yes signs, to be able to witness it, I guess it would have felt very affirming and validating. It means that, you know, forgetting all this kind of crap that's been happening, they could feel great about it. They're great about themselves.
It gives the Rainbow Families the legitimacy that they truly deserve.
Yep.
And then there was Rainbow Labour. Like, who knew there was Rainbow Labour? Yeah. I didn't know that. So that was a really interesting component to really see the number of people that are already in positions of power that actually are from the community, which was really extraordinary. I mean, we've just sort of seen more and more. And, of course, now there's a call for Penny Wong PM.
I did say that, and I think that's amazing. It was actually really beautiful, and I mentioned this a bit earlier, but that moment obviously when the overwhelming landslide majority of politicians kind of went over to one side of the room to say that they were voting yes. I mean, it's quite reassuring to think that obviously, even though there are still a few, you know, maybe not bad eggs, but people that aren't necessarily on side with us, overwhelmingly, the politicians have our back, especially when it came to marriage equality.
As a matter of fact, Macca has sent in a text, a message
another
earlier. The four guys sitting on the no side in Parliament shouldn't be sad. They could now be two couples. Bring it on.
That's very true.
It's a beautiful thought. And so just change the topic slightly. Healthcare obviously is still very important in our community. Mm. And I think there's a lot of focus now just trying to make sure that preventative medicine is obviously key. We've seen that coming through in some of the work on HIV with PrEP, etc. But there has been an outbreak recently of another meningococcal virus.
Yeah, and they were saying, I mean, the thing is, I wasn't that familiar with the virus myself. I mean, I was aware of the name of it, obviously. But even just reading recent reports, in Melbourne specifically, there's been an outbreak amongst gay and bisexual men. But I believe the Victorian government are kind of trying to help people get free access to preventative measures to try to ensure they don't
There's a free vaccine. So if you think you're concerned, you can go to your local GP and there's a free vaccine available. But they were saying it's been spread by kissing as well. So I'm sure a big pash, you wouldn't expect to get some of that, would you?
I know, yes.
Well, I do remember, you know, I remember when I was much younger, there was, you know, mono, which was what it was called back then, the kissing disease. I mean, I never got it, but there was, I don't know exactly if it's the same. Is it the same disease? We used to call it mono when we were kids.
I have no idea, Fiona.
I'm sorry, Fiona. I'm not sure.
You're not that old. I'm going to look it up and I'll come back to you with an update on that one.
But I think healthcare is an important topic as well. I mean, aside from obviously the recent outbreak, which is important as well, obviously World AIDS Day was recently and there's been a renewed kind of focus on HIV prevention and treatment and making sure people are aware of their sexual health, which isn't new necessarily, but something that I think in the year ahead we should continue to focus on, because obviously PrEP, there are trials, which is fantastic, but making it fully accessible and cheaply available is important as well.
Going for zero, I think.
Exactly,
that's the big call.
And just making sure, actually, just again, that medical care is just normalised. So again, I think you often talk about the community having different medical needs, which we do, but just making sure that's part of the repertoire of services that a normal GP can offer. You don't necessarily have to go to a different place to try and get access to those sort of services.
Exactly. And there's actually a national report that came out last year in Australia that said that the number one issue affecting the HIV positive community is stigma. So as much as we're seeing great advances when it comes to treatment, prevention and things like that, and there's still a way to go, stigma in the community is still paramount. And I think that's, it's terrible because, you know, people that maybe feel judged for what they do in the bedroom or around that kind of stuff may not feel like they can get tested because, you know, they don't want to, I guess, quote unquote, out themselves as, you know, engaging in that kind of behavior or whatever. So, I think alongside healthcare, reducing that stigma around our community and I guess would help us more easily access healthcare, if that makes sense.
Mm, mm,
Yeah.
Well, I mean, one of the things that I am always concerned about with a healthcare point of view is what's available to people in rural and regional areas. Mm. I mean, there isn't always access to good mental health care for young people, in particularly in rural and regional areas. And I don't know why that should be the case, because there's just as much, and in so many facts, it's been shown that people in rural areas have greater levels of depression. And so these are things that I think need to be looked at as well. There's not enough going on out there.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.